In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The temple in Jerusalem was understood by Judaism to be the central point of God's presence on the planet Earth. They thought that it was the location on the globe that heaven and earth met. Every Jewish male living anywhere in the world was expected to make the journey to the temple in Jerusalem at least every 2 or 3 years so that they could take part in the major festival celebrations that were conducted there at the temple. The setting for today's gospel reading is the Feast of the Passover and Unleavened Bread, and it was a gala affair. It was this grand accumulation of both of those festivals, and it lasted 8 days. And so Jerusalem was filled with Jews from all around the world who were coming to Jerusalem to take part in this worship. And of course, they had read their Leviticus chapters, and they knew that they were expected to provide animals for sacrifice in the temple worship, and they couldn't travel with their cows and their sheep, so there would have to be cows for sale, and sheep, and doves. And there was also the need for them to not use the Greek and Roman coinage they would be traveling with, because it would have the image of the emperor on it. And we just read the Decalogue that says there'll be no graven image of God. And so they were not allowed to use any of that kind of coinage in their purchase of anything on the temple grounds. And so in order to pay the temple tax, the priests provided money changers who would exchange foreign currency for temple currency. So this was one busy scene. It was filled with strangers and with animal cages and with merchants' tables and money being exchanged and the push and shove of the confusion to get from the court of the Gentiles and through that area to the temple grounds for worship. And it was into that scene that Jesus came on his own pilgrimage, because he often participated in temple worship. Jesus was not just challenging the abuses of that marketplace scene. He had experienced it many times. He'd been in that courtyard before. He knew it was part of the worship within Judaism, that there would be animal sacrifices in worship. He knew that there was not to be any coinage that had images of people or animals on that. So that's not really the big surprise here. What's really interesting for us to consider is Jesus' attack on the institutional church itself. He was confronting the whole system, not just the abuses in that marketplace area. He was attacking that institutional church's system that had become so embedded in its own rules and in its own practices that it was more concerned about maintaining those practices than it was to be open to some fresh new revelation of God. So here was Jesus coming to deliver this extremely crucial message about the relationship between humanity and our divine Creator. And they were too busy making sure that they were selling sacrifices and they were doing the coin changing, but also the whole system of how the temple was operated. That system was focused on maintaining itself. And what Jesus knew was that he was to be the central point of God's presence on earth, not the temple, not the stones and the timbers of that building, to be the central presence of God on earth. But Jesus was to be that central presence of God on earth. In our quote, in our reading from John's Gospel, John wrote, "But the temple he had spoken of was his body." Makes it pretty clear. That was the point that Jesus was trying to make, that his body was this presence of God. It is the temple. Well, through our faith in Jesus, through the baptismal vows that are made for us, or we make at baptism, we know that God's Spirit dwells in us too. God is in us as well. Scripture describes that we are members of Christ's mystical body. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices, not animal sacrifices, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Through the faith that we have vowed in our baptism, we've been set apart by God to be models in the way we look to God for worship and prayer and how we relate to each other. Jesus' cleansing of the temple is a statement that he is now the temple of God's presence. We don't need a temple. We don't need a physical place because we carry God in us. God dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. And we can't allow that temple, our bodies, to take on the shape of the unbelieving culture around us. We have to resist that. We have to set it aside. We're directed to be individualists. We're directed to be differentiated from the rest of the culture. And that is the impact that Jesus offers on our life. Christ is with us and Christ is in us and calls us to be ever refreshed in an ever a renewed relationship with God. So this is a very different way of looking at this whole cleansing of the temple courtyard by Jesus. Instead of it being this angry person who just had to respond to the abuses of illegal exchange rates for money, this is instead Jesus really pushing back against the institutional church, saying it's got to be more than about just maintaining our practices. Whoa. That gets close to home, doesn't it? It has a message, I think, for us about being an Episcopal church and being St. Stephen's in the field, about really evaluating, looking at how this story challenges us in our practices. How do we evaluate it in view of this needing to do cleansing? Well, every Sunday since, I don't remember when, years ago, on the front cover, I've had the mission statement of St. Stephen's printed on the cover. And this was written before I came here. We ended up a couple of years after I came to St. Stephen's, or I think it was the next year, we created a purpose statement. I think this is better. And I'd like us to just read it together, if you would. Please join me in reading it. We the people of St. Stephen's in the field seek to know Christ, to share Christ, and to serve Christ, recognizing his presence in all people and reaching out in love to each other and to the world around us. So here's the thing. If we really want to address this cleansing in ourselves, we have calendars that are completely overloaded. We have responsibilities that get piled on us whether we ask for them or not. And we end up having to sort out which things are really going to be core issues, which are going to be our mission as St. Stephen's. And are we going to allow other things to accumulate on top of those? When we look at any activity we do, any ministry we engage in, anything we spend money on, anything we ask you to volunteer your time on, does it serve that purpose? Does it accomplish working towards this goal? And if not, we need to decide not to do it. And so there's a need that Jesus saw by the leaders of temple worship to get back on track of what their faith in God was all about and not get hung up on all the rules and practices that didn't lead to that end. And as St. Stephen's, we've talked on the vestry about a book I've had fun sharing with them called Essentialism. And it's a really well-written book about saying, how do we determine what that core mission is? And how do we make sure that the things we engage in, the ways we spend our time and our money, all feed that core purpose? And that we don't get distracted in a bunch of different directions. Well, I think that same issue applies to each of us individually. We have the same responsibility as individual Christians to decide, by what am I going to decide what is my mission? And as Christians, I think we have a head start because we're looking at a mission that involves patterning our lives into becoming more like Christ. And as we have things that always keep piling on us that we're asked to do, do we take the step of deciding, does that activity, does that request of my time feed that purpose? And if it doesn't, what am I going to do about it? Just as Jesus cleansed the courtyard, I think we have an opportunity in Lent here to do our own cleansing, to take a look at this exact issue of what kind of things have we allowed to get piled on us, and do they all serve the purpose we want to be accomplishing in our life? And if not, what are we going to do about it? I think it's great material for us to reflect on and decide on actions to take during our last few weeks of Lent. May we commit our lives to be continually focused towards our calling and to be a suitable place for God to live. And may we commit ourselves to God's will and to be a suitable vessel for God to live in. Amen.